There are many questions that you find in the scriptures. And there are many questions that people ask in the past and also in the present. And one of these questions is this: is there life after death? Now, let's not take this question for granted, because there are many who do not believe that there is life after death. But it is a good question to ask. There was a man in the Old Testament by the name of Job who asked a similar question in his time of suffering. He asked this question in Job chapter 14 and verse 14. If a man dies, will he live again? If a man dies, will he live again? And in that same verse, Job continues and he says, all the days of my struggle I will wait until my change comes. And so the first part of this verse, very powerful question: if a person dies, will he or she live again? Is there life after death? It's very interesting. Job says that he will wait until his change comes. Well, we do have good news, because the Bible gives us the answer to this question. If a person dies, will he live? Is there life after death? And the answer is found, as is the case of many of the difficult questions that we often ask, the answer is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has answered this question that was asked many years ago. If a man dies, will he live again? Yes, he will live again. But there is a caveat, because not all will live again. Not all will live after they have died. So this morning I would like to just spend a few minutes looking at briefly the life that we have after we die. Because the Bible describes the body that we will have in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It tells us what we will be like after the resurrection. And so let's begin, first of all, by reminding ourselves of these things about the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the central theme in the Christian faith. His death and his resurrection. But if he had died and remained in the grave, then his death would be like every other death. But because he rose again, because of his resurrection, every message, every sermon that is preached in the book of Acts is based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every message in the book of Acts is based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so the resurrection is very essential to the Christian faith. If we do not believe in a God who died and rose again, then we believe in a God who is dead in the grave. In this week's past online message that I usually send out every week, I wrote a little story about an encounter between a missionary and a Muslim in India. And the Muslim went to the missionary and he said to him, you know, when we go to Mecca, at least we find something. We find the tomb of Muhammad. But when you go to Jerusalem, your Christian Mecca, you find absolutely nothing. But he makes the point for us that indeed, if you go to Jerusalem, you may find a church that was erected in memory of the resurrection of Christ, but you will not find his grave there. You will not find his body there. And that's not a negative thing for us. It is, in fact, one of the evidences. It is the evidence that he has risen. And so we thank God that when people go to Jerusalem, they find nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ because he came back from the grave. Now, before we come to our resurrection, let me say this, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not the same as the raising of Lazarus. Okay, resurrection is not just coming back to life. It is much more than that. Jesus' resurrection is different from Lazarus' coming back from the grave because Lazarus died again. Lazarus died again. But the resurrection, the word that Job used, the change that occurs at resurrection, it's a different change, it's a new kind of life. Jesus Christ could not have died after he resurrected, after he rose again. And so what resurrection really is this. It is the life of a different realm, the life of a different age. See, before Jesus Christ died, before he rose, his body was subjected to all of the weaknesses of this life. The body that he possessed, right? He was able to get tired, thirsty, right? Because the body that he had was a body that was conducive for this life, this earthly realm. But after his resurrection, the body that he possessed is a glorified body. He could not have got hungry. He could not have gotten thirsty. And he could not have gotten sick. And he couldn't die. And so resurrection is not just a matter of coming back to life. So earlier I said that not everyone believes in resurrection. But there are some who believe that there is some form of existence after someone dies. So let me just put forth four different ways in which people understand what happens after someone dies. First of all, there are those who say that after our existence on earth, after it ends in death, there is no personal life after death. We wouldn't spend much time on this one, right? There are those who say that when you die, you disintegrate, you go out of existence, and that's it. Evolutionists would preach such false doctrine. It is not true because we consist not only of body, but we consist of body and spirit and soul. And the soul continues forever. Secondly, there is a view that beyond the grave, there is a union with the divine. So some people believe that after you die, you become united with whatever your God is, with whatever that divine being is. You can't become one with your God. There is a mingling, there is a melding together of one's personal life with whoever is the absolute. Thirdly, there is a reincarnation. And I'm sure most of you know what reincarnation is, what it means. It teaches that at death, people do not immediately mingle with the divine, but what happens is that they re-emerge into a new earthly form. And so there is this chain of rebirth. Rebirth, it can continue indefinitely as the soul either progresses or regresses from one earthly life to the next. In other words, when someone dies, they can progress into a higher form of life continually, or they can regress into a lower form of life, reincarnation. And then there is the immortality of the soul. This view teaches that at death, the soul discards the body. The soul gets rid of the body because the body is evil and the body is only useful as a house for the soul. And at death, the soul is finally freed from the body. The Greek philosophers, they believed that this is the ultimate end of human beings, that death merely completes the liberation of the soul. Right? So in this life, this soul that is in this body continuously wants to be free because the body they consider to be evil. And so at death, the soul is freed. But what does the Bible teach us of our resurrection, the believer's resurrection? Well, the first thing I want to say is that our resurrection is modeled after Jesus' resurrection. All right? So in the resurrection of Jesus, there is a continuity and there is discontinuity. In other words, Jesus Christ rose bodily. So that's a continuity. He kept a body, even though it's a glorified body. So there is continuity with this life or this body and the resurrection body. But there's also discontinuity. As I mentioned before, there is no pain or sorrow or death with a resurrection body. So some, right, we still have a body, but there are some things that we do not have with a resurrection body. So, seven things about our life after death. And this is particularly for believers, God's people. So let me say at this point that the resurrection body that will be possessed by those after death belongs only to Christians, believers, those who have come to faith in Christ, those who have been saved. Okay? And this is very important. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse 42. This is the first thing I want to say about the resurrection body of believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 42. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 is known as the resurrection chapter. Right? If you are afraid of death, read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I would encourage you to read it, especially in these days. Death is always staring us in the face. We have become very familiar with death, and we all will die. The latest statistics says that one out of one person dies. We all will die at some point. So this is an issue that everyone should be interested in, the resurrection, because we all will die. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 42, we are told, first of all, that the resurrection body is an imperishable body. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42 says, let me read from verse 40. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For star differs from star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. That's the first thing we see here. What is that which is perishable? Well, when you go to the grocery store, there is a section for perishable goods, right? Fruits and veggies, right? Onions and garlic, apples, right? That's the perishable section there. And if these foods remain in that place, without being sold or eaten, if it stays there for a month or so, it's going to rot. Right? That's what perishable implies. And you would not be able to eat it anymore. Well, our bodies are like perishable fruits and vegetables. We are in a state of decaying, of dying. We are on our way to death in this life. But the body that God will give us, believers in Christ, is one that is imperishable. That really excites me, and I trust that it excites you too, that yes, we are subject to diseases in this life, and tiredness, and loneliness, and hunger and thirst. It is common for us on this side of the grave, but thank God that on the other side of the grave, when we are resurrected, all of these old things will go away. And there will be no more death, no more sickness. We will have an imperishable body, one that is not subject to the vicissitudes of life. And this is not just a myth. This is not a fairy tale. The Bible does not tell us fairy tales. Right? The Bible is a book of truth. It's a book of truth. And it is a book of truth because it is the Word of God. And we believe what it says because it is true. The Bible is not true because we believe it, but we believe it because it is true. And so everything that it says about us and about Christ, it is true. And we will have an imperishable body. We will not be able to die. That is a great promise. Secondly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 43, we are told that we will have a glorious body. The resurrection body is a glorious body. Notice verse 43 of 1 Corinthians 15. Just the first part of this verse. It says, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Now in the scriptures, glory often speaks about that which shines, like the Shekinah. And there are some who believe that our resurrected bodies will have some kind of radiance about it. The Bible doesn't tell us specifically what our bodies will look like. But what we do know when it says that the body will be one of glory, what it means is that the body that we shall possess, the resurrected body, will be adapted to live in glory. It will be adapted to live in God's presence. These bodies that we now possess, we cannot live in God's presence with it. In fact, the scripture says that no man can actually look at God and live. Just as we cannot look at the sun with this body that we possess, in the same way we cannot look into God's face presently. But praise God that with our resurrected bodies, the Bible says face to face. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We shall see him. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let me just see if I can pick this here. In verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have also been fully known. In other words, we will know ourselves. We will know God in glory. Right now we are limited in our knowledge, but with our resurrection body, our knowledge shall increase. We shall see him face to face. We'll be able to, I believe, move from one place to the next. Who knows? Like Jesus Christ when he just appeared to the disciples. Our resurrected bodies will be invincible. Not invisible, but invincible. Because the resurrected body is a real body. It is not something that is spiritual. It's not a ghost. It is real. Thirdly, in 1 Corinthians 15 and 43, and the second part of that verse, notice what it says. 1 Corinthians 15, 43, the second part, it says, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. So the resurrected body that we shall possess will be a powerful body. Powerful. And that word powerful here is the word dunamis. Like a dynamite. We don't know specifically what it entails fully, but what we do know is that this powerful resurrected body will not be able to be subject to the limitations that this present body is subject to. Limitations such as tiredness. Are you tired? Yes, many of us, many of you are tired. Tired because of the frustration that we have been through this past year. Tired because maybe of work. Tired of staying at home. Tired of not being able to see my friends. Tired of spending time on Zoom for school. Tired, tired, tired. We don't have to be working hard to get tired. But that is the nature of this present body that we have, because when we do things over and over and over again in this life without any meaning or purpose, we get tired. There will be no limitations. Of course, the limitation of sin, we will not be able to sin. We'll come to this later on. We will not be helpless. Yes, we will need God's grace to help us. But our bodies will be powerful enough to do what God wants us to do. I remember a man by the name of Walter Bowler, a friend of ours up in Stouffville years ago. And Walter Bowler was, I think, 96, 97, I'm not sure, years old. And I recall one day I went down to his house in Aurora to help him, you know, clean up his yard. And when I went there, Mr. Bowler was dressed up with his suit and tie, and he had his lawnmower there and just working away, 90-something years old, and he's working away. I recall there were times that Mr. Bowler would say that he's looking for someone to marry. His wife had died a number of years ago. But he died of old age. And there are many who die of old age because of this body that we possess. But thank God that the resurrection body of believers will have no limitations, will not be subject to tiredness, tardiness, helplessness, frustration. Absolutely not. The next quality of the resurrected body of believers is that it is a spiritual body. A spiritual body. Notice in verse 45, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Right? So the bodies that we have is natural, it is subject to this world of nature. It is, it contains, you know, flesh and blood. What does the Bible say about flesh and blood, about entering the kingdom of heaven? Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven because flesh and blood speak, let me get it straight, flesh and blood speak of weakness. When Jesus Christ took upon our flesh and our blood, what it actually means is that he took upon all our weaknesses, flesh and blood. But the resurrected body of believers will be spiritual. It does not mean that it is non-material, right? The glorified resurrected body, it's not necessarily non-material, but it's a different kind of material. It is spiritually built. It is not non. It is non-physical, right? But that's not what Paul is speaking of here, really, when he says it's a spiritual body. What it really means is that it is a body that is dominated and controlled by the Spirit. In this life, our natural bodies are dominated by sin and self, earthly desires. But the spiritual body, the resurrected body, will be absolutely and totally under the control of the Spirit. There will not be one iota of independence from the Spirit. But we will be absolutely dependent upon the Spirit. Resurrected believers will live lives directed, to put it crassly, 100% directed by the Spirit, 100% of the time. So let us have patience in this life with each other, because it is not possible for us to be totally 100% controlled by the Spirit in this life. We'll have to try by seek God's grace, right? We have to pray and to seek God's strength, But we are not able to be controlled 100% by the Spirit 100% all the time, because this body is natural. But praise God, this spiritual body that we shall possess will be totally, absolutely obedient to God. The Spirit of God will lead us always. That's what we are looking forward to. There will be no time lapse in our obedience. Right? In this life, we obey, and there are times we disobey. We obey most of the time as God's people, but there are time lapses of obedience. We don't always obey. But when our bodies are raised, then there will be no time lapse of obedience. We will always obey Him. And if there are children in heaven, which maybe not, when I say maybe not, I mean that as far as parents and children, I don't know what the relationship will be like in heaven. Maybe we all will be same age. Could you imagine, kids, that you will be same age as your parents in heaven? I don't know. We don't know. But the point is that we all will be obedient to the Father all the time. All of the time. And so that's why it's important to practice obedience now, right? To God and to those who are in authority. The next one, our bodies, I want to say, is already participating in the resurrection life. Right? It is something that is in the future. Our resurrected body is in the future, but we are already participating in the resurrection life. Notice Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?" Right? We died with Christ. "Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead," right? "Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self," or pre-Christian life, "our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin." In other words, as believers, we are not Satan's slaves. We don't have to listen to the sinful nature. We don't have to be obedient to the devil and to sin, because the resurrected life of Christ dwells in us. And that is the guarantee that indeed we shall receive the ultimate fulfillment of the resurrection. So how do you know that you will be resurrected? How do I know that? Because the Spirit dwells in us presently. Right? The last thing I want to say about our resurrected bodies is that it is the hope of all believers. That is the hope of every Christian. That's it. We do not focus our attention solely on this life. Our ultimate goal and purpose and desire, we don't work ultimately to continue to live in this life. Yes, in this life, we ought to participate in community. We ought to participate in the church. We ought to have purpose for our lives. We have to encourage others. We have to help others achieve their own goals and purposes in this life. But ultimately, the ultimate goal and purpose is not in this life. It is in the life to come. So all our brothers and sisters who have died, not only the past year, many have died. And I was, you know, thinking of that. I was thinking of the millions of people who have died. I'm not sure how many, yes, it's 1 million plus who have died because of COVID. And the reason why it hits us so hard, the reason why we feel so helpless, because so many people have died in 1 year because of COVID-19, is because plenty people, let me use simple language, plenty people died in a short period of time. Right? But in truth and in fact, 1 million people would have died anywhere, right? 1 million people would have died. If next, let's say in 2 months' time, 2 million people die because of COVID-19, that's a lot in 2 years, but 2 million people would have died anywhere, right? But it's because of the shortness and the quickness, the number of people who have died, it shocks us. But one in one person dies. We all will die. And so that's the reason why we ought not to put our trust and our hope in this life. That is the reason why Jesus Christ came to give us hope, because that's the reason why God created us, not to live in this life. In fact, death is an alien in God's creation. God did not create death. Death came because of sin to destroy God's creation, but God's ultimate desire is for us to live with him, and it is through the resurrection of Christ that he has given us hope so that we also can be restored to what God has promised us. That is our hope. And so let me end by reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual things, spiritual thoughts, with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And all that's written in the Scriptures is true and has been revealed to us by the Spirit. So may the Lord bless you and encourage you in these dark days that there is hope, because Jesus Christ rose from dead. Death has no power over him. And we who are in Christ have the same power in us. Praise God. So Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful hope that you have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.